Okay, we have 31 board members present. That is a quorum. Let's continue with the Pledge of Allegiance, if you please rise for that.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's continue with the chair's report. I have a number of things on here. First of all, one that's not listed that's important if you have not done it yet, as you recall, we handed out the evaluation forms for the county administrator and wanted those back, like, already. So if you have not turned your evaluation of Mr. O'Malley in, please do so as soon as possible. If you lost yours and you need another one, let us know and we'll get it to you. But if you haven't done it yet, please give that your immediate attention. Next, the county board picnic date and time. The last, I think it's a couple of years, it's unfortunately fallen the same week that our county administrator has his Habitat 500 fundraising ride, and for whatever reason, he always considered that a higher priority than being with us. I don't know why, but he's asked us to give some consideration to, instead of doing it July, doing it either June or August. Anybody have any objection to that? Okay, anybody have a preference between June versus August? August? Anybody not like August? Going once? We'll do it in August. Okay, so we'll get back to you with details on that. September planning meeting also has conflict that would normally fall on what would otherwise this year be the Labor Day weekend, in fact Labor Day itself. And what did we decide we wanted to propose on that, Steve?
That the committee should make this an agenda item when they meet and determine when else they want to meet, but get some direction from this body on whether or not to hold a policy planning meeting. Remember, obviously, September is when we're starting to get into budget issues, so it's difficult, and this will be a significant year, as always. So September 7th to not have a policy planning meeting would be difficult. Now, obviously, salaried staff can come in that day. If you want to meet on Labor Day, that's fine, but, of course, the building is closed, so it's a little bit more of a problem to go ahead and meet on that day. I'd urge you to come up with another date. One of the reasons this came up is one of our members has to plan their schedule far in advance because of their employment. So we just wanted to try to get that that solved for September.
As it works out right now, county board in September, the third Thursday would be September 17th. So that first Monday would have been September 7th. The conflict would be policy planning and is it aging and long-term care? And I don't think PRD has a problem. I think they're no. The week before.
Yeah, they're fine.
So is it mainly just aging and long-term
aging,
care?
Aging, long-term care, public works, and legislative.
Oh, yeah, public works. Okay. And legislative committee. Don?
September 14th to 16th is a state convention.
Right.
September 14th to the 16th, Monday to Wednesday, is the state convention here for extension. So that would be a bad time because we're working late those days. At least the committee is supposed to be working late.
That's also WCA, and we are the hosts. It would be rude to leave our visiting counties and go have a county board meeting. Though they could come and watch and see how you guys do it. No? We're not ready for prime time? Okay.
So, anybody have any brilliant suggestions? Andrea Richmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I would suggest not having the planning meeting that month. Public Works probably could meet on the 8th if it would work out for the committees, and aging on the 8th, and then just cancel the planning meeting.
If we didn't do budget on the 7th, Steve, is there a time that we could get it in?
Well, the other idea is, since you're not going to be making budget decisions but giving direction, you could move it to the 21st. It doesn't have to link with your county board meeting, which is usually what you're trying to do. Is if there's, remember, the reason your committees meet before the board is to prepare resolutions and actions for the full board. So if it's just a discussion item, Monday night, the 21st, could allow us to still have a meeting of the full board on major policy budget issues.
So the Monday after county board instead of the Monday before county board week. Audrey?
Could could do August 31st. Just move back a week, because that's a fifth.
That's actually PRD's night for their business meeting and their public hearing. That's
Even though it's the 31st?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that would be in this room.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody have any strong objection to having policy planning meeting on Monday, the 21st of September? Okay. Guess that's what we're going to do. So if you want to mark ahead on your calendars, Monday, September 21st, policy planning, no meeting on the 7th. If you are on one of those affected committees, please talk about that ahead of time and figure out what it is you're going to do. Arlene Vendrun.
Excuse me. When will we meet then for like highway and solid waste and?
That'll be discussed at your next.
Your committee needs to make that decision.
Oh, okay.
So put that on. If you are a committee chair of one of those committees, put that on your agenda for your next meeting to try to get that resolved as soon as possible.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we have supervisor conference reports. Anybody have any? Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This coming Tuesday on March 24th, there's going to be an energy conference at the La Crosse Center. This is for elected officials, administrators, municipal officials, board members, and school superintendents. Some of the items that are going to be in the workshop are electricity resources for 2009. That's an overview of the current state of electric generations in our region. Going green with renewable energy sources, technologies, and use and how those on the horizon, excuse me. The role of energy of elected officials and energy issues, power corridors, electric transmissions, and issues of the grid. There will be exhibits. And the cost of the workshop is $35. And if you wish, you could be reimbursed by La Crosse County for attending that. And this is sponsored by your Southwest ZipBec.
Thank you, Mr. Sobranek. Maureen Friedland?
I just have a question. The deadline for signing up for that is passed. Are you still taking registrations?
Jerry, do you know?
Yes, and Arlene has.
I have some more questions. Whoever wants one.
Okay. I assume that if the deadline's passed, they should do that, like, tomorrow.
As soon as they can.
Okay. So.
We are going
to have. And we handed these out at the last meeting. If you lost it or want to look again, here some more up here. Arlene, did you have your hand up too, or was that the same announcement?
I'm new here.
What was that?
I'm new here.
You're new here, yeah. Well, try to keep up with us, okay?
I will. Okay, I have a report on highway. I gave a WCH report as far as Wisconsin County Highway Board of Directors, which is in Wausau. I now am able to share a ride with the Monroe County Highway Commissioner, thus saving mileage for the county, saving $300 on each trip. I drive up to Toma, and he picks me up and drives to Wausau and back.
Good.
So I thank him for that. And we discussed at our meeting, any stimulus project will be carefully reviewed by the federal government. How many times they told us you need to dot all your I's and cross your T's? They really stressed this at our meeting. And the other one I have is for ITPEC, which was Friday, March 6th. The DOT district office will remain open in La Crosse and also Toma. The welcome centers will remain open. It is uncertain if they will be staffed because brochures are being downloaded and people know where they are going. They will be looking for centers to be staffed by volunteers. We had a conference here, the governor's conference. We had a booth there with ITPIC, and many people visited and took information with them. And I worked in the booth from 4:30 to 7:30 after coming back from Wausau. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else have any reports? Vicki Burke.
Mr. Chairman, a point of personal privilege. I had a conversation earlier with
Supervisor Jim Burns, and he asked me to report that he had a baby boy yesterday, just 5 minutes short of St. Patrick's Day, so he wasn't. But whose name is James Henry Burns.
Jeff Blesky and I had a meeting the other day with the person who is going to be assisting some of the counties with the census, and they emphasized how important it is that we increase the population as much as possible. So I'd like to thank Mr. and Mrs. Burns for their efforts in that regard. Any other reports? Okay, next we're going to go on to the administrator's report, and I wanted to mention one thing, and I know it's not on the agenda, but he's going to be talking about it. Mr. O'Malley just got back from Washington, D.C., where he was one of only a couple people representing Wisconsin out there in a meeting sponsored by NACO and a couple other League of Municipalities or League of whatever. And it was a meeting presented by the White House. Vice President Biden was there and department heads and so forth. I think that it really is a reflection upon not just the reputation that Mr. O'Malley has in our community and even in our state, but when the NACO people say, hey, we'd like you to come to this meeting also, I think that speaks a lot for him, and I think that we have a lot to be proud of, and he would probably not have pointed out what a great guy he is, but somebody's got to do it for him. So, before I have him do his report, I want to thank Marilyn Pedretti for pointing out to me another thing that we need to mention. For April, county board meeting is not third Thursday. It's Tuesday the 21st. If you show up on Thursday the 23rd, you will find an empty room. So please note that on your calendar. For April, that's the reorg meeting. That's Tuesday the 21st. All right, Steve.
Okay, thanks. Got quite a few things to go through along with a brief report on my update on the visit in D.C. The contract fiscal notes, there's some questions about that. That's been corrected. That is in your packet. I don't know if you have any questions about that, but we corrected the percentages. And, yes, the percentage does go down in the second year because the base, of course, goes up by the previous year's settlement. I think we got that straightened out. There were very few changes there. Did anybody have any questions on that? That was in your packet. Okay. Next item, we're suggesting that we not have an April retreat. Most of the time that we've been doing this for the last several years, the first retreat following the election is much better attended than the midterm retreat. And we've had mixed response on that in the survey that was done at the end of the 2008 retreat. I don't know if people have a strong feeling about that, but when we talked about it at exec, it was decided to not have the April mid-year retreat. Any strong objection to that? Kind of underwhelmed by this reaction. Okay. No, we want to see more presentations by O'Malley. Okay. Okay, the next item, and I'm going to do kind of a lead-in on that because I think it is appropriate. Before I just talk about the report on debt service capacity, this year was the first time I've ever attended the NACO Legislative Conference in D.C., and it was pretty pertinent given the dynamics of where our country's economy is and where county governments are across the nation. We are in some of the most interesting and most challenging times that we're ever going to experience in our careers and our dedication to public service. At the NACO Legislative Conference, we learned a lot, and this was last week, about the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, and partially as a result of my interaction there, when Mark O'Connell wasn't able to attend, he asked and offered my name a nomination to attend full-day conference conducted by the White House on what's happening with the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act called ERA. And so following a similar agenda to one that was done by the White House for the governors last week, they brought together about 120 people nationwide from the National League of Cities, NACO, U.S. Conference of Mayors, ICMA, and yesterday we went from about 8:45 until 6 o'clock with no breaks except for a short half hour for lunch, agency head after agency head, including Commerce, Housing and Urban Development, Health and Human Services, Department of Energy, DOT, Department of Labor, Department of Ed, Homeland Security, Interior, Department of Justice, EPA, Department of Ag, Office of Management and Budget on Regulation. They've set up this new Recovery Act Transparency and Accountability Board, and of course the Vice President was there. And what they were trying to get across, and I'll touch on some of the things, was to make sure that we recognize, we as local officials, the amount of responsibility really that we have given what they've just done in Congress. Even given that context, I don't think we're understanding in La Crosse the severity of the economic crisis on the same basis that many of our other counties across the nation. Certainly we have people that are seeing economic challenges. We will be challenged to meet what changes the state is affecting us on. But I, in roundtable after roundtable during the legislative conference and in preparation for yesterday's meeting, I was hearing story after story from counties and county commissioners and county supervisors across the country that are confronted with challenges that are much larger than the ones we are going to struggle to compete with. California, for example, where they're seeing roughly 23% to 30% decrease in equalized value. You've got Broward County, Florida, where they're having to come up with, between the cuts from the state and the cuts in their value, they're going to have to make up, the county administrator was saying, $185 million cut from an $895 million budget. DeKalb, Georgia is seeing just a complete drop-off in all of their building permits. They were ending up dealing with anywhere from 500 permits on average a month to 8. So how do you change your staffing in Jeff's counterpart office to go away from, obviously, the revenue paying for that? What do you do in inspection? What do you do, and let alone just the indicator of what's happening in the local economy? Now, yes, we have people that are impacted significantly by the downturn in the economy, and we're going to continue to do everything we can to support and help people in La Crosse and do the things that we need to do. But it all of a sudden, my little list of complaints seemed a little bit smaller, and the challenges that we have, than some of the folks that are in our chairs in other counties across the nation. And it really indicates really the difficulty that we've got. And some of the messages, particularly that the Vice President as well as his staff were talking about, if I can, and I probably won't do this justice, but these are really the toughest and most challenging circumstances we're ever going to see in our lifetimes, most likely. Yet in these kinds of times, there's a lot of great opportunity, and those of us that are called to public service are really now called upon to help change the perception of what government can do in our world. We have an ability now with the biggest change that's ever been made in an investment by the federal government in providing services to a community. This Stimulus Act is going to end up having a much bigger impact, and it's actually a larger dollar amount, even adjusted for inflation, than Eisenhower's action with the interstate action, putting an interstate system throughout the nation. And unlike the interstate, which was a system that was built nationwide, this is up to local governments to make it happen. This is up to cities and counties and states all across the country. And I'll quote Valerie Jarrett, who's the senior advisor and assistant to the president on intergovernmental affairs. She said, "Our credibility is in your hands." They want to make sure that local governments all across this country don't squander it, don't use the money improperly, that we don't see swimming pools and frisbee golf courses and other kinds of things that would be criticized, that there will probably be 10,000 projects across this country that will positively impact jobs, will impact local economies, and unfortunately, if only 1% of those projects are frivolous or inappropriate, those will be the ones that the media will zero in on. So that's not as much to lecture us, because I think we would only do the responsible thing with the money, but it's enough to, when you talk to other colleagues in that you meet at conferences, make sure that we're doing the most we can to be efficient, effective, build the most jobs, and be as proud of the projects that come out of this stimulus as we are today looking back on the 30s when FDR and the other folks were going through the types of projects you can still see in our communities today. It was really interesting and really inspiring to see a group of dedicated officials that really believe that government can make a difference, and recognizing that this has never been done before. This amount of help, this much transparency expected within the allocations, this fast, and this big, the size of this investment has never been done before. We have a chance to rewrite the rules about what people expect out of government, and it's actually stressed by an administration that believes we can have a positive impact, which hasn't been happening during my time in public service, where it's been government bashing about all the things we can't do. So it's I think La Crosse County is in a unique position because of our history of innovation, our ability to collaborate, our ability to come up with unique ways. When somebody says you can't get something done, we still figure out how to get it done. And so what we ended up doing was, during that entire 9 hours, is going through and hearing a lot of the details. Some of these details are not yet worked out. We're going to, over the next 30 to 60 days as your staff, do everything we can. We're collaborating with city staff in particular, trying to figure out which grant proposals, which programs we can best go after that we're best positioned. We can't chase 100 different programs. We won't qualify for every single one. So we need to be able to focus on things that line up with your policies. And there are a number of things that both we will do as well as we will try to influence, and I'll try to touch on a few of them. In the next, over the 60 days, and actually the clock is ticking, the state has to submit their plans for high-speed rail. They've got to designate that corridor. A number of us have already talked to our congressman. We've talked to Ron directly when I was out there. He is not going to be in a position very easily to influence where that route goes, because there's actually two communities that are pushing for where that route is, but we have other abilities to influence that, and I think La Crosse is best positioned to have that through here, and we're linking up with our allies across the river, by the way, who I know a few people over there, and we're trying to make sure that it get designated through La Crosse. We won't make that decision here, but your policy direction is clear, and so is our community. We'll do everything we can to try to influence that. Huge impact in weatherization, and I don't have the local numbers, but to give you an idea of magnitude, $5 billion in weatherization programming, both for green jobs and for weatherizing homes, will be instituted in this stimulus package. $5 billion compared to usually $240 million a year. So it's like 20 times as much as they've ever invested in any given year. That's the kind of impact to homeowners and renters in communities like ours all across Wisconsin and Minnesota and places that it's cold. Public health, you know, if you read the newspaper, got an initial allocation in prevention funding. We're still trying to identify exactly what will happen with that. That will, any of this information will come back through your committee and board process. Staff isn't going to go off on its own with anything other than applying for grants, but coming back through the committee and policy process to make sure that if we accept anything, it's a decision by this policy board, so that you know that you're actually on top of every one of these things. But we do have that initial allocation. Public safety, you're going to be in a real unique position because they are providing additional money, much like the old COPS grants that were there before. It provides hiring for the first 3 years without a match, except you've got to pick up the funding in the fourth year. So again, just like the old COPS funding during the Clinton years, you have the ability to pay for positions. There will also be funding for victim services, prevention of violence against women. There are a number of initiatives there. There are a number of initiatives in rural development, business and community facilities. There's a 75% increase in low-income housing tax credit allocation. We've been in positions where City of La Crosse and others within our community have competed against themselves with 3 and 4 projects in the same year. So we have a chance to actually make some inroads there. A lot of the Department of Energy things, the alternative energy, because they've never had a grant program, they don't have the standards resolved yet. But we're watching that. Your sustainability coordinator, Nick, is monitoring that. Carl Green is monitoring that. I am, so that we can try to position ourselves in the best way to be able to pursue alternative energy funding for potentially the solar hot water on the jail, as well as on other facilities. And you've seen a lot of the wish list, if you will, that staff put together. Health and Human Services has a number of things, including modernization of records. There's an increase in funding for aging meals, for the congregate meal program, for the home-delivered meals, and a number of other things. So I've just tried to summarize really what has been several days of work trying to identify where we can pursue these things, and we've got a committee of people internally. We'll be working with department heads next week at the department head meeting, again trying to prioritize where we have time and where we think we have the best opportunity, because while this is the largest increase in funding for these kinds of things, there are also times where we will not compete well because we're too small a community. The other communities that I talked about will compete better because they're in more distressed urban areas than we are. And so we will try to focus on areas that we will shine the best, we will compete the best, and bring you back information. So over the next several months, you're going to be seeing information come back as we try to compete for that. But if you know of other colleagues in local government, other colleagues in government, please stress that the public's eyes are on us on how we use this money, on how we have to be efficient, effective, produce results, and really make a difference in the world. And I think it's a great opportunity. This is a great time for public service. But on the other hand, we're also going to be talking about the state budget. While we're doing these kinds of things, we're also going to be struggling with what happens on the negative side as the state budget ends up impacting us harshly on how we continue to provide services in an economic downturn. We may not be as bad off as some places, but as you'll end up hearing over the next several months, the impact on economic support in other parts of our county are really starting to impact workload, impacting demand on services. So it's really going to be a dual-edged sword for us to do the best we can to maintain services while also trying to utilize the stimulus dollars where we can compete. And I'm going to get into some of the presentation that I've got, but I want to let you know that we're doing the best we can to monitor this both on a state level and a federal level in a way that we've never been in that position before. I'll see if there are any questions at this point on that. Then I want to get into really the main point of my presentation is to update everybody on debt capacity, because one of the things we need to do is scale back some of the things we're doing budgetarily as we're trying to deal with the state budget issues.
Brad Half.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Steve O'Malley, for going to Washington, D.C., and participating in the White House conference. And thank you for not being cynical about the stimulus package. Needless to say, if you turn on talk radio or you turn on cable news, it's too much cynicism, and I'm glad to hear your comments. You know, the thing is that this stimulus bill, you're right, nobody's ever experienced something like this before. I mean, this is something that, you know, we heard from our grandpas and grandmas and uncles and aunts about, you know, what they had to do during the Depression, and, you know, but what's so interesting about this and what's so interesting about your comments is this really is about federalism. We hear so much about the heavy hand of national government, but what you talk about and what the stimulus gives is it gives local units of government, and it gives local decision makers the opportunity to participate in this process. And quite frankly, I think that's refreshing, and I'm glad to hear your comments. I'm hoping that you can continue to come back to us on a monthly basis and kind of talk to us about, you know, what your team is doing when it comes to the stimulus and what's happening, and kind of give us an update as well. And I also, wearing my day job hat, I encourage you to continue to communicate with your elected officials, your members of Congress, and your U.S. Senator, U.S. senators as well, because this is big. This is really important. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it's terrific for La Crosse County and for your professional career that you had the opportunity to participate in that conference. And so congratulations. Well,
thank you. And just to be clear, you will be making the decisions about what we accept. There are, you know, you will be the policymakers making any of these decisions. We're just going to do just like we do with any kind of grant. We'll do the groundwork, because we know clearly your direction on many of these policy ideas with alternative energy and, you know, providing better services to people and those kinds of things. You'll have to be making those decisions. We can't do that alone. I just want to reassure everybody of that, because sometimes there are matching requirements. Sometimes there are other things that you may or may not agree with what we've been able to accomplish, but I just want to make sure you know that we're coming back to you at your committees and your board meetings on each one of these items. That is, if we're successful in getting the grant. We probably won't spend a lot of time on those that we don't get approved on. So,
other questions or discussion? John Menninger.
I hate to be a stickler, but if we're going to have this discussion on state or federal budget, it ought to be on the agenda.
Except that we're not making decisions. Are we in trouble, Bill?
Well, I
like this
discussion. Yeah. It's informative as opposed to related to decision making, so I think there's a little more latitude, right, Bill?
I think it was fine. I would move on to the scheduled.
And I will apologize, but it just happened Monday night. I just got back at 12:30 this afternoon. I didn't know until Monday night that I was even going. So that's how quickly we had to put this together. So it was just.
Don Meyer, do you have a question or comment that won't get us in trouble?
I think so.
Okay.
Steve, you mentioned stimulus dollars and grants. Do we need a grant for everything we get, or do we just get some dollars in some situations?
Some are formula driven, so there are things like in the aging congregant meals and some of those kinds of things that will just be direct, and there are others that will actually be initiative run. You have to actually apply for the grant. It'll be competitive. And we'll try to give you a more comprehensive report in the future as we get a little bit closer on what each of these pieces are.
Thank you.
Okay, Steve. Tara Johnson has something
I just want to make sure all those things will be on the agenda. When they come to us.
Yes.
Promise. All right, let's talk about debt service capacity.
Yes, if we can go to the slide, and Executive Committee has seen part of this, but given the state and federal context, and I've given you a brief report on the state budget before verbally, but in preparation for Monday's public hearing, I'll end up having more detail, and at your next meeting in April, you will end up having a more detailed presentation on the estimated impact of the governor's budget on La Crosse County's budget. So you get a better idea on that. We're still working on that. But one of the things that dawned on us as we're looking at the current local economy and looking at the state budget is that we are going to have to look at what our debt capacity is and what the impact negatively is on our ability to handle the things that we have been thinking about for quite some time. For those of you that have been on the board for a while or for new members, you may recognize that doing the law enforcement center was a major, major decision. We had a unanimous vote. We said to go ahead. We've decided to and have broken ground and moved ahead with that and invested $29.5 million in that expansion and doing the things that we need to do for the long term. Part of that discussion also included that the next stage is to deal with the campus plan and to try to deal with what's actually happening with this building, with long-term needs. And one of the difficult parts about, I'm going to go over here for a second. If we can go to the next slide, maybe it won't work. We've only got six slides. Go one back, please. I didn't update these slides, but in essence, one of the things that I keep stressing, and particularly with the executive committee that we've talked about, is one of the challenges we've got to control our tax levy for debt service purposes is while we're building this new jail addition, we're still making payments on the first jail. And even though we did a number of refinancing things that I'll touch on in a moment, you still have one of the greatest difficulties in managing debt is you've got, as represented by that chart, an existing level of debt service that in 2015 pays off that first jail and law enforcement center that's built. Until you pay that off, it makes it very, very difficult for you to control the impact on the property taxpayer. If you go to the next slide then, what we had projected when what was happening before, when equalized value was going up 6, 7, 8% a year on average over the last 20 years, remember in our ordinance for the 2 years while we were considering this, we set a debt ceiling of 52 cents out of our debt rate to be the cap. That's actually based on averages. Our previous year's averages of 52 cents was our debt rate. So if your equalized value is going up, you actually gain additional equalized value or debt service by just freezing your debt rate. When equalized value doesn't go up, though, it's just the opposite. And that's one of the difficult challenges that we have, is I had hoped, based on the trend line that we had, that as we completed the law enforcement center project and went ahead with that, then we could come back in and figure out ways to start a small amount of debt service that would build towards the 2015 and 2016 of paying off, that you'd be able to do a major capital expense item and still stay within that 52 cents, solving the capital needs of the campus plan, and talk about what to do with this building to either remodel or replace it, what to do with long-term parking, all of those kinds of issues. So it's predicated on the idea that your available debt service would grow. And we talked about this even before we made the law enforcement center decision. This is an actual demonstration of we've actually dropped the amount of debt that we're committing to both the law enforcement center and the new LEC. You see, the big drop in 2009 was we ended up using some of our debt payments to pay off the highway shop early. We ended up refinancing some debt. We ended up doing a number of things that restructured our debt so that we're actually taxing the community less to do the amount of debt we need. And so that ends up helping out on the tax bill. It also is a better management of dollars and ends up paying things off quicker than we had expected. But with the impact on what's happening in equalized value, that's not going to help enough. If you look at the bottom line, we had been talking about 52 cents as our top target, and that we actually instituted, you put it into ordinance. The debt rate in 2008 was actually only 48 cents. This year, with all the refinancing and shifting some of our authority to operating levy instead of debt, dropped it to 36 cents. Our projection, very preliminary, for next year would rise it to 44 cents, and then in 2011 would be 54 and beyond would be higher. Now, I should have put question marks in both the 44 cents and 54 cents, right? Because we don't know what the equalized value is going to be in those 2 years. Historically, equalized value has been going up 6, 7, 8% a year. This year was the lowest in the past 20 years. It went up 1.29%. This is the first year that we've actually seen during my tenure that the tax rate has gone up. If you want to look at your blue books, which is today on your tables, is the actual budget book. Look at page 6 or 7. Unfortunately, that's the only page that the page number didn't come out on. And we weren't going to reprint the whole book, okay? So this is the page I'm asking you to look at, because I'm going to get some detail on this screen, but that's the page. And it's actually got some narrative that I think after my report or tonight, if you've got nothing else to do and you're struggling sleeping, read this page. Okay? Because as I said, this is the first year during my tenure, and I started doing budgets with you in 2004. In each and every case, the rate did not go up or it dropped. Since I've been working with you on budgets, this is the first year that it went up. Anytime your amount of tax levy goes up higher than the rate of equalized value, your rate goes up. Anytime your amount of spending goes up slower than your rise in equalized value, your rate drops, right? This year, our total tax levy went up 4.88%. Equalized value only went up 1.29%, so it drove the rate up. Okay, now this is a very busy page, so just take a moment and a breath. The top graph is the last 30 years of your equalized value. The bottom graph, and it's also on the page in front of you, is the percentage change in equalized value each and every year over the last 30 years. And I want to be able to illustrate this. From 1990 to 2008, was a straight line increase in equalized value each and every year. And people in my career, that's during my almost my entire career, equalized value goes up every year. This is the first drop that I, and it was only 1.29, but it's way below average over the
property taxes, but also to show you we did not see an increase from basically $2.1 billion in total value to $2.2 until 1990. That's like 8 years. This could be that long. Even if the economy turns around, because the economy turned around after that recession. Remember, that's the definition, is a recession. But it didn't impact the tax base, and unfortunately, we know that too much of our decision-making, because of the unfunded mandates from the state and federal government, is based on what we get out of the property tax. So it makes our challenge that much more difficult. So given that in mind...
Steve, can I interrupt you for a second?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Is your mic on?
Is it? No?
Because Linda's not picking it up over here on the recorder. Okay.
If you then I can change my whole story next time when you're actually writing it down. If we could go back... let's see, no. If you can go back two slides, then I'll conclude.
Back to
there. So what I'm suggesting is that because of all this impact, we need to be in a position to get through basically the next two election cycles until we get more of the debt paid off before we can deal with any major capital expenses that would rely on a change in debt service or an increase in debt service. So meanwhile, what we've got is Jim Spropoulos and the construction manager, Marketon Johnson, are going through and analyzing what minimal things have to happen within this building to get us through so that we don't invest too much in remodeling costs to get us through in this building before we would have to make that decision, and that following the election in 2012, that we would bring back the initial results of the campus study that's been done. We've gotten a lot of good work done, but don't put a whole lot of time into recommendations. Come back to this board a set of recommendations on what we need to do to get by with this building for the next couple of years, and then to also concentrate on the capital expenses that will happen at Lakeview that we can hopefully utilize and spread out the amount of debt service there that we'll talk about with Aging and Long-Term Care Committee, utilizing our partnership with the other counties instead of having to rely more on our debt service. Because until we pay off, regardless of what happens with equalized value, regardless of what happens within the economy, until we get more of the debt paid from the existing law enforcement center, we're not going to have much margin to work with. So that's the first step we have to do along with all the budget changes that the state government is that we need to forestall additional investments in capital and get by until we get further down the road on paying off some of the existing debt. We've done all the refinancing we could do. We looked at paying off all the debt we could with the highway shop and the other kinds of things. We're going to need to just get by for a few years because this is going to be challenging enough. When you see that tax rate go up because of that other impact, it can't be because we're doing a lot of capital work. Now, that also means it's going to challenge us. I haven't even talked about in roads and highways. Remember the road study that we've had analyzing what our road needs are because of development? We're not going to have a lot of good and easy ways of recovering through debt service to do roads and those kinds of things. We're going to have to look for other revenue sources or, again, postpone projects. We have very few other revenue options. So, again, everybody was so pleased and happy in my report to the executive committee. I know I don't mean to bring everybody down, but I do think it's important that you as the elected representatives understand some of the dynamics around what's happening in our local valuation and also take a deep breath on what that means long term, because none of us has a perfect crystal ball. I hope the economy comes back roaring and I hope it comes back quickly. But given the historical rearview mirror, it hasn't impacted the equalized value as quickly, at least in previous recessions. And that makes our challenge that much greater.
Questions for Steve or comments? Don Dina?
I guess I'm happy to hear you say that because I was concerned about where we're going with our bonding because we have to slow down a little bit. You know, either that or we have to put people in jail. But as far as I'm concerned, the recession is going to take longer to get out because we are exporting our jobs. Those people, the 600,000 every week for the last 5, 6, 7 weeks, are out of a job because we're exporting our jobs to other countries. And there's no place to put them unless we create jobs. That's what we have to do in this country, create jobs, either through alternative fuels or biodiesel or... I'm looking at it from the rural aspect, and we need to create jobs, but we can't hire people just to fill and expand the system either. So we have to have a reason for it. But it's going to be long in coming, and this isn't going to be an easy one. It's going to be tough.
Other questions or comments for Steve? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The last word is that that document has a whole lot of information in it that staff throughout the organization has put together, statistics, performance measurement data, and, of course, it incorporates all of the detailed budget decisions you made in quick summaries. So, again, sometimes people think it's boring, but we're all geeks for this stuff. We really like to see what our departments are accomplishing, what the results are, and in particular, the section that I just referred to really gives you some broad data on comparing us with other counties as well. So I hope it's useful for you. The next item we've got is we actually want to have Jeff touch briefly on a meeting that was requested by Department of Revenue as part of the state budget. They're looking at looking for counties that would be interested in looking at ways of combining countywide assessing, and I'm going to have Jeff report on that. Remember, that was your seventh highest goal you established in your retreat this year, so that's why we communicated Department of Revenue that we're interested in at least visiting with them and finding more what they're thinking about.
Let me also offer a prelude since I'm the chair and I'm supposed to introduce
them.
That's okay. Now that you're famous at the national level, I'll give you a little more latitude. What prompted me asking Jeff to talk tonight is that there is a meeting coming up, unless it's been changed, Jeff. My calendar says it's still 9:30 on Monday the 30th?
Correct.
Okay, 9:30 on Monday the 30th in room 3220. If you are interested in learning straight from the horse's mouth, people from Department of Revenue are going to be here to talk about this concept of countywide assessing. This is a pretty big deal, and that's why I want Jeff to kind of explain about it. There are some people who may not like it. There are some people who may love it. But it's a fairly complex type of an issue, and so we're going to get a little taste of it tonight from Jeff. But if you are interested in learning more or talking to the DOR people, everybody is invited Monday the 30th at 9:30 in room 3220. Go ahead, Jeff.
Thank you, Steve. You're correct on... the budget bill, which is Assembly Bill Number 75, while I was paging through this a few weeks ago, I came across page 1,686 and found a couple sentences there that talked about the County Property Tax Assessment Program, also known as Countywide Assessing. For those that are not familiar with this, countywide assessing has been around since 1973. It's been in the statutes. They've never taken it out. The only thing that they have taken out is the funding for it. Over the years, and I'm probably going to go back 4 years now, probably even longer than that, when Mr. Ursham was chairing the county board, he had asked for some research to be done on that. So I've got quite an extensive file sitting over here. But what the Department of Revenue is looking at is a talking session. That's what they want to call it. It's not going to be a bashing session by any means. What has happened over the last 4 years is La Crosse County, Eau Claire, Portage, Trempealeau, Barron County, and Sheboygan County have all shown interest in this. And a lot of interest for the same reasons that we have, and probably for the same reasons that in your 2008 retreat, you did put that down as one of the important priorities. For those that follow the Wisconsin way as well, they're talking about tax reform too, ways to improve and modernize the property tax system. So if this is a timely topic for everybody, please come. We're going to send out a pink meeting notice, because if a majority of some committee ends up showing up, it's a public hearing, right? Or a public meeting. So we've got some pretty important people coming, I would say. The deputy of the Division of State and Local Finance, Gene Gerstner, the Bureau of Property Assessment Chief, the Director, Jim Murphy. We've got the Office of the Secretary of Revenue coming, the Deputy Secretary, Wendy Wink, and the Executive Assistant, Carrie Templeton, and the Supervisor of Equalization for this area, Tom Jansen, who does a lot of fielding questions on issues. So what they're going to be talking about is creating, and probably using the whiteboard quite a bit, to come up with concerns that people have to improve what may be already on the statutes, what's not working here, what's working in other areas, just so we come up with a list of things that we can end up improving. Now, the governor has put this in the budget, but there's no funding for the study. So all we're doing right now is just collecting data for them, and then they're going to go to the other counties, and they're going to present the same list of talking points. So I guess with that, that's all I have. Should be pretty informational, though.
Brad Paff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had the opportunity to attend the regional conference for the Wisconsin Towns Association. And needless to say, the Towns Association have some interesting comments when it comes to a countywide assessment.
I'm sure.
Could you make sure that you invite the town government officials from around La Crosse County to this meeting on March 30th, and
certainly,
and continue to work with them on this, because they had the Towns Association actually had a little breakout session in which they had a speaker speak about what would happen if you had countywide assessment. So,
okay.
Do be ready for this.
Well, in answer to that, Supervisor Paff, I attended the local chapter, the La Crosse chapter of the Wisconsin Towns Association, I think it was last week, and they had a couple of their legislative representatives come up and address the audience, and they didn't know I was sitting there, but they didn't have to either, and they said that this is coming from La Crosse County, and it's not. It's been an issue that's been servicing around the state. I've probably been more vocal than the others because I've been around a long time and understand the bigger picture. So they gave me an opportunity to just say a few words to clarify, you know, the situation. So I think they left knowing that it's not an attack. You know, we're just trying to find some reform, if you want to call that, or some atmosphere of modernization.
And mm-hmm. Just to follow up, a member of your team, Mike Weibel, was at that meeting,
yes,
3 weeks ago, as was County Board Supervisor Marilyn Pedretti.
Yes.
So
yes.
This is something that the county obviously is involved in, and you know, we're just keep us posted.
I will.
Thank you.
I will.
Well, Jeff, to follow up on that, what we hear the town people say is countywide assessing means town taxes will go up and city taxes will go down. Is that by default, we should just assume that's going to happen, or is that a fear that may be exaggerated?
It may be a little exaggerated, but I didn't want to get into any portion of this, but currently, I do feel that the urban areas are paying more of the county share of the taxes, and
okay.
I think that can be proven. I think what we're all looking for here is one valuation for the whole county rather than 18 little pieces that are added together. We're looking at one assessment ratio where everybody's assessed maybe at the same level of assessing, one tax rate. So everybody can do a comparison. The county rate isn't $3.46 in one municipality and $4.80 in another, and they go, I thought we were supposed to go down. There's all kinds of questions that are still floating around out there about consistency, uniformity, all these kinds of things. And then when people see this, they go, well, that's government for you. You know, we don't want that. We don't want that concept. We want confidence. You know, and this is just an attempt to bring something back, you know, because, you know, this is what we're talking about in every single discussion, it seems like. People are paying too much property taxes. But people feel okay. And if you read the Wisconsin way, they don't mind paying taxes if they don't pay any more than they have to. Correct?
Mr. Spiker, whose taxes went up 7% in the village of Holman, has a question, I understand.
7.8 just for the county. That's because the equalized valuation is a good point what Steve made. That there's a prime example is Holman, mm-hmm. because it was set last year with so much growth in it. The equalized valuation went, the tax went. Try to explain that to the village board, though.
Same thing?
I think we talked about this in PNRD a long time. I go back a long ways, too, Jeff.
Yes, I know.
Countywide assessing, how many counties have that now?
Zero.
Did at one time Kenosha County have that?
Yes, sir.
And they petitioned or something and withdrew it after.
Well,
could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yes. In 1994, the legislature, prior to that, the legislature was funding the operation of countywide assessing. And since Kenosha County was the only county that was taking these funds, there was a budget crunch back at that same time, so the governor had decided to take that funding away. So Kenosha County actually had the petition to the state to break it down into smaller pieces again, if you will, and let the local units, the cities, villages, and towns do it on them by themselves again. I've got correspondence that I was saving from that era, it's probably a good half inch, that indicated it was a good system, but they just couldn't pay for it, you know, because there was such a shift. Kenosha County at that time was modernizing their records. They're putting on computer for the first time, and they just couldn't absorb that whole cost. So they still consider it a good system. Matter of fact, I talked to the finance director for Kenosha County, and he said they wish they had it back. So,
why do you think the governor put it in the budget? I'm suspicious. There's a lot of people suspicious. Not just this. A lot of things in that budget are coming out now that we don't have any idea. We'll be surprised when they approve the budget and find out what we got to do because we missed it in there. So what other municipalities? Do you have any idea, talking to your compadres and that, why the governor all of a sudden, this has been law since 1973, and all of a sudden it's put in there? Because I don't think it's any harm looking at this. And it sounds like maybe the Towns Association is trying to put a stop to it before they even know really what's going on with it.
Well, in answer to that question, it's the countywide assessing is still on the books. They haven't taken it off out of the statutes. It's always been there. It's just kind of re-erecting itself here because it's a different way of looking at the information. Across the state, there's something like 1,700 and some municipalities. They're all assessed differently, even though the state of Wisconsin certifies the assessors. You can't be an assessor if you're not certified. There's good ones and there's bad ones. We can talk to our townships, and they will tell you horror stories that they've had in the past, and they just don't want to deal with it. 2 years ago, we took a sample contract to the local towns association and said, please use this contract. The finance department, through Brian, helped us draft this thing. And we said, we want the board reviews held in the statutory time frame in May, not December. You know, it creates a rush situation. The people are trying to hold board reviews during Christmas, and it just doesn't work. And again, it's one of those confidence-building things. Why is it late, you know, when it shouldn't be? The state has to estimate some of its values, and then they make up the difference next year. Well, guess what? There's nobody left at the state to do this kind of stuff. You know, the institutional memory is gone in a lot of these places, so they've got new people. So they're trying to redesign the system. And I guess I wasn't going to get into a lot of the details, but there are details behind this that the state would like to see at some point in time, and it's computer-assisted appraisals, so they're all done the same way. The records are all kept the same way. Some assessors have field cards. Some are on computers. Some don't have any cards. So,
The other thing that's been talked about statewide by administrators and folks that deal with budgets is, you know, the bottom line with property taxes is what's fair. Most states don't have 1,700 separate assessors. We talk about consolidating services, and that's one thing, is if property taxes are fair from one jurisdiction to another, that's one thing. You go across the river, just drive across the river, Minnesota has 87 counties, 87 assessors. It's regulated by a system so that if you have a home in one jurisdiction, it's valued very similar to the other, and it's regulated by overall market value sales. It's up to date. It's much like, could anybody imagine if we had 18 separate dispatch systems for public safety? People would think we were crazy, right? But we were one of the leaders in the state that has consolidated dispatch for public safety 25, 27, 28 years ago. County assessing or some means of having consolidated assessing would be one way to ensure fairness of the property tax and to make sure that that system is not as different as it can be right now. And most states that are on the cutting edge of computerized systems, up-to-date values, do not have 1,700 separate ways of doing it. They generally do it through a regional government like a county or some kind of contract system.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you. Mine is just a very simple logistical question. Do you think 3220 is big enough for that?
Well, Bill was just pointing that out to me, and we may want to look and see if the auditorium's available.
I would think so.
Okay. So, Jeff, can you
I would hope so, actually.
I can look into that, yeah, certainly.
Don Meyer.
Jeff, can you just outline for us how you think it would work, how it would flow? Would the assessor work out of your office and that type of thing, or how do you just kind of? I know it's not in concrete or anything, but what do you think?
Well, in review of what Kenosha County had done, and I did take a look at their setup, their organizational chart on this, and they work very closely with my department, and they've got a separate zoning planning department. They also had a separate property lister. Well, that's one of the hats that I wear. And that information was shared very easily with the people because they're in the next room. You know, right now we've got 18 different assessors. We've had to create a web site for the local assessors to get to their computerized information because they don't have sometimes that their computer isn't big enough to take the information that we've got to offer them, the parcel maps, the soil maps that they need, the contour information. We've got all this information, and a lot of them just can't use it because they're part-time. They don't keep an office at the town hall. They keep it up in Altoona or wherever they're doing their work, you know, and then the town hall gets questions, and they can't answer the questions because the records aren't there. There's a lot of things that we're doing right now that would not be any additional cost that would help the local assessors. One of the things when I contacted Winona County, and they've got a board of commissioners. There's only five or six commissioners in the whole county there. But they've got a countywide assessing. Their assessors also look for properties that didn't get building permits because when they're going out there measuring up buildings, they have to have that recorded. We give that same information right now to the assessors so they can catch this stuff. When we check the field cards, because people call us all the time because they can't get a hold of the assessor, we say, you've got a right to take a look at your property assessment card and see when these portions of the buildings were constructed. It's empty. There's nothing on it. And then when an assessor ends up leaving, they take the records with them, and guess what? The next assessor has to start over from scratch. So this information is being duplicated 100 times. It's not in any central system. The planning and economic development people need access to information, number of bedrooms, square footage, bathrooms, all this kind of stuff, because we don't even know if the builders are building the right types of homes. And we don't want to duplicate that kind of information by creating another office that already has this. But this information, we can't get it. It's not in any consistent form. And are they willing to share it? I would say that if they're an office that's right next door, they're going to share that because it's going to be on a database that we can share. So I don't see them being part of the department at all. They're going to have their own chief, their own deputies, their residential appraisers, they're going to have commercial people, and they're going to have some staff. So, you know, maybe if this thing turns out to be a full-blown study, everybody takes a look at it. These are the current costs, postage, driving, because they use their own cars, whatever the, you know, their salary, their fringes, everything. We add this up, you know, and if it's going to cost more for consistency, amen.
So we mark you down as undecided on this one?
Very. I have okay. No stand.
Yeah. Audrey Cotter. Oh, that was you. Okay. Yeah. Who else had their hand up? Don Bina.
Now is not the time to debate it, and I'm not going to debate it, even though I got opinions. But is this going to be a total county-wide, including the cities, the villages, and everything, or is it just the out-county?
We don't know yet.
What do you envision? You know, somebody must be envisioning something.
I've got a big vision.
I don't know, because I can tell you some stories about sure. the house I have in La Crosse and the increase of $340 bucks 2 years ago and a drop, $168 this year because it's losing valuation.
Sure.
Well, okay, if you don't know yet,
well,
then...
To answer this in an absolute sense, the statute says there is one, and they do all the cities
okay.
and all the villages.
So you're assuming
and all the towns.
It'll be the total county then.
But
okay, and I don't have any problem with that
yeah,
either.
But you know, in these talks, it could come up because this is not in the statutes that it could become a regional. The only thing the statute says is you can have a countywide. You can have the assessor for two or more counties. You can combine counties. It doesn't say anything about being,
it has regional
or anything at this point. But they want to know this. If you know, that's going to be one of the talking points. I'm sure.
But Jeff, if it did come to La Crosse County, it would include not just the out county. It would include the cities. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's.
I think that's
what
Don's question was.
Yes.
Okay.
And the other thing. Jeff was sitting in the front row the other night at that town meeting, and we asked him the question, and he got up and he gave a pretty decent speech explaining in a short version what he was doing. I did ask for, and I asked you, Steve, after last meeting about what the cost might be if we went countywide, and you said it's premature, and I agree with that. But I did talk to the counties the other night and asked them for an accounting of each individual township and the cost of their assessor. And they're putting that together, and I'll have that someplace down the line. So I will have that. But I would like, if we get serious about this, I'd like someone to put the cost for the entire program together. Number of people. One person isn't going to do all the assessing. What is the county going to do it?
Don,
or
that's
is
what
it
this
going to go
that
private?
Is what this study would do.
Yes,
is to answer those questions.
I'm sure it probably will.
And again, to repeat what Jeff said, the budget does not propose countywide assessing. The budget proposes a study to look at it in selected counties.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other questions or comments? Okay, Jeff, that was very good. Thanks a lot. Okay, that gets us to cards and correspondence. Check the board over there for things there. Committee meetings during recess. I don't think we have any. In fact, I don't think we'll have a recess. And that gets us to appointments.
Chairman Doyle.
Thank you. I have quite a few appointments tonight, and I'll have a bunch more next month, too. April is the big month for doing appointments, so I would ask for approval of the items that I have listed, 1-3 through 12-3, the appointments that are listed there.
Is there a second? Seconded by Margaret Wood. Discussion on items 1-3 through 12-3. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Next is
is the consent agenda. Is there a motion on that by Roger Plesha, second by Jerry Sobranek, to approve the consent agenda? Any comments or changes on that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That gets us to planning, resources, and development. Who's got that this month? Don, you do? Don Meyer?
Yes,
Don
I
Brock
do.
Don is pointing at you, so I guess it's you.
Is he? Okay, we have item 14-3, zoning position. Petition 1807 filed by Clarence and Susan Inlaw to rezone from Agricultural District A to Exclusive Ag District in the town of Burns. This petition passed in the committee 6-0 with no restrictions. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve the zoning request, seconded by Mr. Montai. Any questions or comments on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
We have item 15-3, conditional use permit number 789, filed by Greg Peterson, City of La Crosse Engineering, owner business operated in of La Crosse, and Raceler Creekside Edition, LLC, to construct a access road to a reservoir site to construct, operate, and maintain a 150,000-gallon water storage reservoir, including connecting, operating, water main, and land zoned, exclusive agriculture district in the town of Shelby. This also passed in the committee by a vote of 6-0, and it has five conditions on it. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to the restrictions the committee approved, seconded by Mr. Montai again. Any discussion on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
One no. Tara Johnson, that passes.
I have items 16-3 through 20-3. They're all termination of conditional use permits. They're all defined on the sheet. And they're really, it's just kind of a paperwork cleanup for the department. I move for your approval on all of the termination.
Mr. Meyer moves for approval of the terminations listed 16-3 through 23. Is there a second on that? Second by Mr. Bina. These are all kind of housekeeping. In each of these cases, they are not presently being operated. So any question on any of these? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That it for you, Mr. Meyer?
That's all I have, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Executive Committee, Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 21-3, which is the first reading of an ordinance to amend Section 4.11 entitled Purchasing Procedures, and Section 4.13 entitled Contract Approval Procedure. I ask that this be considered its first reading and held over for a second reading at our next meeting.
That'll be held over till next month.
Item 22-3, to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, regarding adoption of contract with Telecommunicators Association. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the tentative agreements of the parties for changes to this contract for the years 2009-2010, including across-the-board wage increases of 2% January and 1% July of each year of the contract, be ratified as the changes to the working agreement between La Crosse County and the Telecommunicators Association, effective as specified in the agreement. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair, County Administrator, and Personnel Director are authorized to sign the collective bargaining agreement as amended upon approval of the Corporation Council. Be it further resolved that the Personnel and Finance Departments are authorized and directed to take such action as is necessary to put said working agreement into effect and carry out the intent of this resolution. The fiscal note is the estimated increase in cost of wage, fringe benefits, and roll-ups for 2009 is $49,051. A package increase over 2008 of approximately 3.81%, of which 0.96% is insurance, and for 2010, $39,217, a package increase over 2009 projected of approximately 2.93%, of which 0.92% is insurance, for which contingency funding was budgeted. There are approximately 23 employees in this bargaining unit. I move its approval.
Moved by Chair Johnson, second by Tom Roque. Any discussion or questions on this one? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 23-3 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding reauthorization of self-insurance. Whereas La Crosse County is a qualified political subdivision of the state of Wisconsin, and whereas the Wisconsin Workers' Compensation Act provided that employers covered by the act either insure their liability with workers' compensation insurance carriers authorized to do business in Wisconsin, or to be exempted or self-insured from insuring liabilities with a carrier and thereby assuming the responsibility for its own workers' compensation risk and payment. And whereas the executive committee at its March 12th meeting approved the continuation of the self-insured workers' compensation program in compliance with Wisconsin Administrative Code DWD 80.60 parent 3, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does ordain as follows: to provide for the continuation of a self-insured workers' compensation program that is currently in effect, and authorizes the county clerk to forward certified copies of this resolution to the Workers' Compensation Division, Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. The fiscal note is that this is a periodic reauthorization of that program as required by the state, and there is no fiscal impact to the resolution. The self-insured workers' compensation program has saved La Crosse County an average of $440,000 each year since its inception in 1996. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, second by Vicki Burke. Questions or discussion on this one? Jeff Schrader.
Are there any counties in the state that aren't self-insured, or are the majority of them self-insured?
Gary, do you know the answer to that?
I would think that there are probably several that aren't self-insured. One of the main reasons we became self-insured is because we have two nursing homes, and it became quite costly to insure because of those. But actually, the benefit of self-insuring is that we also, our third-party administrator has a loss control supervisor that works with our departments to minimize our claims.
Other questions? Mr. Bina?
Just one. I assume this is a segregated account and that any interest accumulating from that account would stay in that account then as an offset for our monies that we need to put in?
Actually, the interest for this for the workers' comp, well, let me back up. We have a balance in the workers' comp fund. It is a segregated fund. However, the interest for that particular fund goes back to the general fund.
It does.
Yes.
And they allow you to do that?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, the state only wants to ensure that we have a program.
Okay.
They don't dictate how we finance it.
So it was kind of like the old landfill then. You had to have the money there.
Yes.
All right.
Other questions or comments? Jeff Schrader.
I don't know who to direct a question at, but at some point then we do have insurance after a certain amount, right?
Yes, exactly.
And that's with WMIC, is that how that
no.
works?
No. It's the our work, first of all, our third party administrator is HRH, and they actually seek quotes for us for the reinsurance for the umbrella. They seek quotes every year, and it depends upon who provides the best quotes, but it is not through WMIC.
Other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 24-3 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution regarding authorization for deeds for tax foreclosure properties from the county to Ho-Chunk Nation and Shake and Shed Fitness, LLC. Whereas La Crosse County took title to a part of parcel 9-57-1 in 1995 and parcel 10-2105-001 in 1998 in tax foreclosure proceedings for unpaid taxes, and whereas the part of parcel 9-571, which I would draw your attention to is Exhibit A, the map on the back, is part of old Highway B that was vacated and should be held in title by the adjacent property owner, and outstanding taxes have been paid for said parcel. And whereas the second parcel, which is Exhibit B, is a strip of land which the County Board of Supervisors already authorized by Resolution 201-100 to be transferred to the United States of America in trust for Charles Black Deer to correct a previous problem with the legal description. And whereas the matter has not been resolved for a number of years, and it is now possible to resolve the situation by deeding this strip of land to the Ho-Chunk Nation, and whereas it is in the best interest of La Crosse County to deed the property to the Ho-Chunk Nation because it has been resided upon and used by members of the Ho-Chunk Nation for a long period of time, and it was mistakenly believed that this strip of land was part of the parcel deeded to the United States of America in trust because of a fence located on the northern boundary of said property. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board shall authorize the transfer of a part of parcel 9-57-1 to Shake and Shed Fitness LLC, and parcel 10-21-05-001 to the Ho-Chunk Nation of Wisconsin by quit claim deeds. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair and County Clerk are hereby authorized to execute such deeds after review by Corp Counsel. Fiscal note is that the county will pay recording fees with the Register of Deeds for the two deeds at a total cost of $22, I move its approval.
Motion is to shake loose a couple parcels of land here to the Ho-Chunk Nation and Shake and Shed. Seconded by Vicki Burke. Love the name, Shake and Shed. That's great. Questions, comments, discussion on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Ms. Johnson?
Yes,
thank you very much. Public Works and Infrastructure, Mr. Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have two resolutions. The first one, 25-3, approve Thurston request for access easement. It was approved unanimously by the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee. Whereas Melvin J. Kaczynski previously owned a gas station and bait shop business on Wisconsin Highway 16 near West Salem, adjacent to the property owned by La Crosse County. Whereas upon authority of the County Board, Melvin J. Kaczynski was granted on or about November 5th, 2003, an access easement for ingress, egress from his business to Highway 16 over the county-owned property at Swartoff-Neshonic Park, whereas the easement provided that it shall terminate with any change in ownership, renewal of the easement shall be obtained by any new owner from La Crosse County. Whereas Jeff D. and Marcia R. Thurston are purchasing the business known as Neshonic Sports from Melvin J. Kaczynski and will continue to operate the business as a sports and bait shop, including the sale of gas, food, beverages. Whereas the Public Works Infrastructure Committee determines that granting of an easement will not determine to the public interest detrimental to the public interest, recommends that access easement across county property be granted to Jeffrey D. and Marcia R. Thurston. Now, therefore, be resolved that the County Board Chair, County Clerk, and after approval of the Corporation Council, are authorized to sign an easement agreement between La Crosse County, Jeffrey D. and Marcia R. Thurston, providing an easement for ingress, egress from Thurston business to State Highway 16. Be it further resolved that this easement shall terminate with any change in ownership and renewal of the easement shall be attained by any new owner from La Crosse County. Fiscal note, this grant of easement has no fiscal impact to La Crosse County. I move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Mr. Spiker, second by Arlene Benrood. Any discussion on this one? Joe Veenstra.
I'm somewhat curious of the designation of DBA when this is an LLC. I'm curious whether they own it individually or as an LLC, because if they own it as an LLC, they're not DBA. And if there's somebody buys a 5% interest in the LLC, that's technically a change in ownership that would require board approval for an easement again. And it just makes for a nightmare down the road if it's owned as an LLC versus them individually.
Looks like Jeff Blesky has already left. He might have known the answer to that. Bill, do you know?
Thank you.
The information that we got was that the Thurston's own EMJ Enterprises LLC. We'll check with. We have not talked with them. The information that we got was from the Union State Bank president. But that's a good point. We'll check it out. I'm assuming that either way, it would be acceptable to the board.
Joe, do you have a concern if it's one versus the other?
Not particularly. I assume that they will continue to operate as it had been operated by the previous owner. I'm not on this committee, but I mean, an LLC can have any type of business it wants to, and if you know, they're like, let's put up a nuclear reactor or something. You know, I'm a obviously risk averse person.
They might need a zoning change for that one. Mr. Bina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I stopped there yesterday, and we had a discussion for a half hour with not the owner, but the worker. And the previous owner is gone already. The new owner took over, so he's working at it already. And it's just a family operation, and he moved in, and he's going to run the operation from in place of the other guy. So.
Did you notice any nuclear materials laying around?
Okay. Just a little reactor in the back room.
All right. Tara John, oh, Bill.
It's been a while since I did this, so I apologize. But we've drafted up a formal access easement agreement, and it's granted to EMJ Enterprises LLC, and it would be signed by both of the Thurstons as co-owners of that LLC, but it is to the LLC and not to them individually. So that's the way it's...
My concern then is the same. A change in ownership is, I think, a term of art legally, and if somebody bought a membership interest like a kid, some member of the family, whatever, they'd have to come back for more approval. I'm trying to make it easier for them, actually.
Tara Johnson has something to add on that.
Well, is there any reason we have to vote on it tonight? Would it make more sense to refer it for 30 days and try and get that straightened out so we don't have to do something different down the road?
Other
or is
than
there
that,
is there urgency in doing it tonight?
Other than the fact I assume they're already using the easement, so as long as we're not going to arrest them for trespass or something, I assume we wouldn't.
Would it be beneficial to refer it for 30 days, I guess is what I'm asking.
Bill, your reaction on that?
That's fine. If that's the wish of the board, I have no stake in whether it's granted or not. So if you want us to check it out further, we can certainly do that and come back with a more definitive answer next month.
Mr. Spropoulos looks like he may have something to add.
Well, I guess if you're worried about it, other owners having ownership of that LLC, let's just amend the contract or put in the contract that if it changes from its current business, it has to come back to this board.
And that's already in there.
I didn't see it, but
the owners change.
Well, not just the owners, but it going from a bait shop, gas station, and selling beverages. If it changes that type of business, then it comes back here also. So it can't be something that we don't want there.
Bill, does it address that right now?
It says the easement shall remain valid only so long as the business use on the grantee's property remains as a gas station and bait shop. And the easement shall not be transferable to their successors or assigns and shall terminate with any change in ownership from said owners to a third party. So, you know, we have incorporated that. We don't want any use that would be detrimental to the county. It's a public park that's next door. We don't want a red light kind of business there.
Joe, you raised the issue. What's your thinking?
I think we should pass it and hope for the best. I apologize for bringing it up.
That's what happens when we get too many lawyers on the board. Other questions or comments? Bev Mock.
I was just going to ask why this goes, these two things, the one we're discussing and the one that's coming up, go to Public Works and Infrastructure instead of the Parks Resources and Development Committee, Planning Resource and Development Committee.
Parks and Facilities are under Public
Works. I said Parks. I meant Planning Resource and Development Committee.
Because it's land that we own.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Maybe this one will be easier, Mr. Chairman. 26-3, approval of easement for West Salem Water Tower, approved by the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee, also approved by the Cross County Economic Development Fund Board. Whereas Resolution 106-2-08 approved the sale of 1.43 acres to the West Salem Village of West Salem for municipal water storage and treatment facility. Whereas Lot 1, the Cross County Certified Survey Map, filed in Volume 13 on page 7 as doc made number 1502709, Cross County, Wisconsin, was conveyed to the West Village of West Salem on June 25, 2008. Whereas the attorney for the Village of West Salem has recently indicated that the 30 feet wide utility easement as shown on a certified map extending from Lot 1 south to Industrial Drive was not conveyed to the village at the time of a closing by La Crosse County Economic Development Fund in La Crosse County. Whereas La Crosse County is the owner of approximately the north 10 feet of the utility easement, and the Economic Development Fund is the owner of the balance of utility easement to Industrial Drive, approximately 312 feet. Whereas the village indicates that it's rather urgent that the utility easement be approved and authorized by the Economic Development Fund in La Crosse County in order that the village may complete the funding for the water tower project with the state of Wisconsin. Whereas the grant of this utility easement will benefit both the Economic Development Fund and the county by providing water service to Lakeview Business Park. Now, therefore, be resolved that La Crosse County Economic Development Fund Incorporated does hereby authorize its president and La Crosse County Board does hereby authorize the County Board Chair to sign the utility easement agreement with the Village of West Salem upon approval of Corporation Council. Fiscal note, the document recording cost to La Crosse County will be $21. I move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Mr. Spiker, second by Leon Paff. Any discussion or questions on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. One no, Mr. Sobranek.
No, I'd like to ask Charlie a question. I vote yes.
You vote yes. Okay. Never mind. You have a question?
Yes, on Charlie, on your February 9th meeting, you asked for some corrections. One of them kind of confused me. It was change the call order from 4 to 4 p.m. Is that just to designate the difference between morning and night so you don't have people showing up at 4 in the morning or something different?
I just wanted to show the correct time, 4 p.m. was it, and I had other corrections that I entered in record, and so did Mr. Burns. We corrected our minutes from the previous month.
Your committee minutes?
Committee minutes, I'm sorry.
Okay. All righty. That's it for you then, Mr. Spiker? Okay, that gets us to items for future agenda. I have a couple things. Number one, this week at the Criminal Justice Management Council, we had two very interesting presentations that I've asked Mr. Huber to talk to Mr. O'Malley about getting added to our policy planning agenda, one having to do with the jail and the other having to do with mental health services in the community. The jail one, bottom line is this past week we've had, I think it's 9 people in the men's jail sleeping on the floor because of overcrowding, and with the new construction we are about to lose 65 beds. So we have a major issue to deal with there. The sheriff mentioned we have some options that the judges are working on, probation and parole. Another option would be to ship 20 prisoners out of town or out of county for 12 months at the cost of $500,000, and we encouraged them to come up with a different plan than that. But given the magnitude of both of those issues, it was something that I felt the full board should be ahead of the curve on and know what's going on. So we're going to try to get that scheduled for a future agenda in the not-too-distant future. Jeff Schrader, question on that?
not a question on that, but according to what I've been reading in the paper, the legislature may be looking at you do the crime and you do the time. They may be changing their philosophy. So I don't know where I was going with that, but it may relieve some of our problems over there.
It's not what you say, it's how you say it, and it sounded just great. All right, any other questions? Steve, did you have?
Just one other item. Obviously, there are public hearings coming up on the budget. If you are in on the state budget, if you're intending to go, I will be attending. Please link up with me so we can share responsibilities, what we say at the mic, because I don't know how much time each speaker will have. But anyone that wants to talk to me, I think I've seen a couple of heads nod that might be going. Talk to me afterwards. We can get together. It's Monday in Sparta is the nearest one. So.
Another thing is some very disturbing news came to my attention of a pretty significant event occurring next week. And, Mr. Paff, if you could bring us up to date on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, believe it or not, one of our colleagues is turning 60 years old on Tuesday, March 24th. You know him as the county supervisor representing the town of Farmington and Mindoro. I know him as my father and my friend and my mentor. I ask you to join me tonight at Sloopy's alma mater for a round of drinks, if you're so inclined. I wanted to have a little celebration on his behalf in Mindoro at a library, but unfortunately, after three terms, he hasn't been able to do that quite yet. So let's go to the north side and have some beverages. Thank you very much.
Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The other presentation yesterday at Criminal Justice Management Council was about the development of a new crisis assessment center, which is what you referred to as the mental health portion of it. This could represent a giant leap forward for La Crosse County. And there is a meeting March 30th, unfortunately at the same time as the county assessor, but it's 8 to 10 in the morning on March 30th at the Hmong Community Center. And it's a very large, broad meeting of lots and lots of people in the community that are interested in it. So if you're interested in hearing about that, that's March 30th, 8 to 10 at the Hmong Center.
And to put that one in perspective, like I did with the jail situation, Jerry, beds, psychiatric beds at the two facilities went from where to where?
Franciscan, when I came in 1998, I believe had 64 beds. They're downsizing now to 16. So basically, even right now, we have a crisis within the context of our crisis beds that are available.
So that's why I wanted the board to know what's going on, because it's going to have some pretty significant ripple effects. Tara Johnson?
I should have said this earlier in the meeting under the conference reports, but I was one of a group of people who made a trip over to Menasha to look at a model that they have for an adolescent mental health center, you know, multiple agencies working on that. So there are some other models. There are, I think, you know, much like what Mr. O'Malley mentioned in reference to what's happening with the economy and budgets, I think this is a real opportunity for La Crosse County to once again innovate and identify a really good long-term solution to a really complex set of issues. So
we'll bring that to the board as soon as possible, and we won't talk any more about it tonight so Mr. Menninger doesn't get upset. Any other items for future agenda or announcements? Jerry Sobranek?
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn, seconded by Bob Kyle. All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed no, carried unanimously.